it looks like the fix was him. The ATF denying it, saying it was just a mistake. But as the ATF faces a firestorm of controversy for seeking public comment on a proposal to ban a popular type of bullet, critics now claim the agency may have decided in advance how it would rule. Now, why would they arrive at such a conclusion? Well, they pointed to the ATF's latest Firearms Regulations Reference Guide. It was released in January of 2015, so 2 months ago. The guide, curiously, did not contain an exemption for popular 223 M855 green tip ammunition that was included in earlier guides. Without that exemption, the ammunition is illegal to sell. So it's already illegal to sell, or it's not? I'm confused. This is the ammunition the president said he would ban by executive order. Here to discuss this and anything firearm-related is the man who wrote the book, lots of books, Dr. John Lott, Jr., and he is from the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Dr. Lott, good morning.
Well, great to talk to you, Steve.
Well, always a pleasure to have you here. In fact, you've become a regular contributor here on the program because your knowledge is unparalleled because, well, by your own admission, you're kind of an academic, which I think is code for a little bit on the geek side, which is okay.
Yeah, well, I'm guilty of that, I guess.
But that's okay, because your tendency to be a little bit on the geek side has allowed the rest of us to benefit from great research as far as going into the numbers and evaluating what the truth really is, because just for people that don't know who you are or are not familiar with your work, I mean, you started this whole process of becoming the nation's foremost authority on guns and gun statistics and gun laws and so forth. You were not a gun owner. You were a curious guy. You were an academic. You were a professor trying to figure out what the truth was, and you had a lot of preconceived notions. So just before we get into the conversation today, a little quick background. I know we've been here before, but for those that don't know, tell us how we got down the road.
Right. Well, I'd been chief economist at the U.S. Sentencing Commission. I've had academic appointments at Stanford, at University of Chicago, Wharton Business School, Yale, other places. And when I was teaching a class on crime at the Wharton Business School, I'd done a lot of different types of crime topics, but I'd never really been very interested in guns. I was teaching a class, and I kind of made the mistake of telling the students that we were a little bit ahead in the syllabus. And a couple students came up and asked me if I'd be willing to talk a little bit about gun control issues. And while I'd read some papers on the area, I hadn't gone through it carefully, which I had to do before I could teach it. And I was just shocked by how poorly done the existing research was. You know, nobody had looked at that and tried to account for the impact that law enforcement had on crime rates. Or there were very small studies. And I could go on for a long time, but one of the things you do as an academic is you do papers if you think you can do a better job than others have done. And one thing kind of led to another, and the work that I did got attention, and I kind of got roped into this from then on.
Well, you found a lot of things, the preconceived notions. And how could you not have preconceived notions in America today? If you watch the nightly news, you would have this notion that maybe AR-15s are involved with, you know, violent crime on a daily basis, and that AR-15s are the most dangerous weapon on the streets of America, which is very much not true. But, you know, with this whole thing with these bullets from the ATF saying, and the president saying, well, we're going to get rid of these bullets because they're armor-piercing bullets, and therefore, you know, law enforcement is in danger. But if I'm not mistaken, Doctor, these bullets that we're talking about, there's not one documented incident where a police officer has been shot. Am I right or wrong about that?
Oh, no, you're exactly right. Look, I mean, I came to this originally. I was affected as much as anybody else by the media coverage. If you constantly hear about bad things that happen with guns and never hear about the benefits, you know, you can't expect people to have views other than what they often do about guns. But the AR-15 discussion is no different. I mean, the president is out there saying that the reason why they're pushing for this change, which is just a kind of rewriting of the law. I mean, one can read the original law, and it says that they can ban these bullets if they're, constructed entirely, end quote, from a list of different types of metals. So they have, like, tungsten, steel, iron, brass, bronze. It's simply not true in this case. So maybe about 15% of these bullets are made out of steel, but the rest is made out of lead. And so the Obama administration is just going back and rewriting the law. You know, it's, rather than going to Congress and making its case, it makes a few claims that the media reports uncritically about the risks to police officers. But, you know, the National Association of Police Organizations and the Fraternal Order of Police and others have said they just don't see a need for this change in the rule. There's no evidence.
Well, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you this. I believe the most common sporting rifle, hunting rifle in America is a 30-06. I believe the 30-06 is the most prevalent caliber of rifle, hunting rifle in America. And if I'm not mistaken, these so-called bulletproof vests wouldn't stop a 30-06 or a 7mm Remington Magnum or an 8mm, for that matter, or a 308 or a 243, because these vests are not designed to stop centerfire rifles. They're designed to stop handgun projectiles, which move much slower and don't have the kind of foot-per-pound energy that a centerfire rifle used for deer and elk and moose would have. Is that correct?
No, that's right. I mean, if they were to ban ammunition based upon whether it could penetrate body armor, then they'd essentially ban rifle ammunition. And, I mean, that's one of the reasons why the original law was written the way it is. It says rifle ammunition that is fired by handgun, but also they have this phrase in there about saying that it's constructed entirely of these other types of metals. And the reason why they put that in there is precisely to make sure that all rifle ammunition wasn't going to end up being banned.
And for the record, my wife and I actually saw and handled the AR-15 handguns, so-called.
Right.
You know, these things are, they've got to be 24 inches long. This is not a handgun. This is an AR-15 with a pistol grip on the back end of it. It's not something you put in a holster. It's not something you can carry concealed unless you have a full-size backpack. I mean, let's be honest. This is not a handgun. This is a modified rifle.
Right. Well, look, the kit that you're going to get back from firing rifle type ammunition in something that would be the size of a handgun is going to be a lot greater than it's going to be, you know, for regular handgun ammunition. So part of what's going on, having a heavier weapon, having something that's longer, gives you some additional control when you're firing than you would have otherwise. And so, I mean, they could technically make a handgun that fired this ammunition that was, you know, it'd still be somewhat different in dimensions because obviously the rifle ammunition is longer than the types of bullets that you fire from a handgun. So, you know, the grip would have to be longer if you would have a semi-automatic version of it, and then it'd be weird in other ways.
Let's hold that thought for a second because we want to continue with this conversation because it's not just the conversation about this ammunition or this particular weapon. It's the fact that the president believes he can take away our Second Amendment rights by executive action, which is what he's working toward. Our guest this morning, Dr. John Lott Jr., the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. By the way, you can find out more at thecrimepreventionresearchcenter.org. And we were talking in the break there, doctor, about the fact that you collect good stories about guns, too, about people that have saved their lives or stopped a crime or done something important. It's a great resource for stories that you're certainly not going to find on NBC or CBS or ABC.
Right. Well, I mean, I can understand why a lot of great defensive news stories don't get news coverage, but some do. And I think it's important for people to kind of understand and get some balance about the costs as well as the benefits of gun ownership.
For those of you that are meeting you for the first time on the radio today and don't know, how many books have you written?
Eight books.
And the one that I started with, More Guns, Less Crime, which is it's kind of like kryptonite for liberals. They see that, they just cringe and they run and they hate it. But it's a great book. And so you've been doing this for some time. And one of the things that I find interesting, because you're talking about the president here, we are about banning ammunition with executive order. Executive action banning ammunition, some of the most popular, inexpensive ammunition in America. But it comes as no surprise to you because many years ago, you met the president. And he told you straight to your face he didn't think anybody needed guns or something to that effect, correct?
Right. Well, we both were teaching at the University of Chicago Law School. We overlapped for about 4 years. And the first time I went up, I introduced myself. He said, "Oh, you're the gun guy." And I said, "I guess so." And he turned to me and said, he didn't believe people should be able to own guns.
Anybody.
And I, right. He didn't qualify it. He just said he didn't believe people should be able to own guns. And I said, "Well, you know, maybe we can get together for lunch sometime and talk about it." And he just kind of wrinkled his face, turned his back on me, and walked away. And that was the end of our first conversation. And I had interactions with him a couple dozen times, and they were all pretty much the same way. I mean, he really hated me because of my views on guns. It wasn't, you know, I, relatively conservative guy in academia, that made me stand out for sure. But most of the liberal academics would at least argue with you or talk to you about the issues. Barack was somebody who, if he disagreed with you, he seemed to think you were evil and he didn't want to deal with you.
He would just blow you off. Regardless of the fact that your opinions were based in statistics, based in mathematical fact and certainty, despite that, if he didn't agree with you, which he didn't, obviously, and it was a philosophical thing with him, then he would have nothing to do with you, even though everything you had to tell him and would say to your readers and listeners here is based in mathematical certainty because it's all statistically based, correct?
Right. Well, I mean, that was one of the things that kind of burned my first interaction with him into my mind because, I mean, as I said, I'm used to liberal academics disagreeing with me on things, but I'm used to them at least talking to you. The fact that somebody would just turn their back on you and walk away, or at other times refuse to shake your hands or what have you, really distinguished him from other people. Back in the 2008 campaign, you keep on hearing how Obama was going to bring people together. And, you know, I was pretty skeptical. I told the press at the time. But I think it's kind of, he hasn't changed. He's fairly similar to the guy that I knew back in law school.
No, he's an opinionated, a narcissist, a guy who believes that he's right about whatever he thinks. And in your opinion is irrelevant because I think he comes across as he believes he is smarter than everybody else, which, you know, clearly I don't believe, but.
I don't think most people at the law school thought he was particularly brilliant. I mean, the reason why he got a position at the University of Chicago was because everybody knew he was going to run for public office. He had a part-time lecturing position, which was kind of the perfect position to go and run for public office from because, you know, he only had to teach a few hours a week. He had an affiliation with a prestigious university and was able to go and use his time for campaigning all the time, and it worked out well for him.
So let's look down the road before I lose you this morning. I only have a couple of minutes left here. He's been anti-gun from the moment you met him. He's probably been anti-gun his entire life, if you want to know the truth. That has not changed. He continues to be anti-gun, and he'll use whatever he thinks he has at his fingertips, whether it's constitutional or not, to ban guns and access to guns. If they are successful here. And so the ATF has published that this ammunition is basically banned currently. They say it's a mistake. But if he can ban this ammunition, then what's to stop him from the next round and the next round and the next round and basically eliminating sporting ammunition all the way across the board?
Look, if they can rewrite the law, which is essentially what he's doing here, if they were allowed to do that, he could ban all rifle ammunition. I mean, the law is very clear where it says these bullets, before they can be banned, have to be made entirely out of these different types of metals. This bullet is 85% lead, so it doesn't meet that criteria. And if he can just go and change this, he could essentially ban every rifle bullet out there. And, his attitude is he's going to do whatever he wants to, regardless of the law, and you have to sue him to stop him from doing it.
Right, he's going to do whatever he wants, regardless of the law, regardless of the topic of the law. It just happens to be one of his pet projects to try to disarm America. He has not probably been nearly as successful as he had hoped to be, because many of his initiatives have fallen short. The 23 initiatives he outlined after the shooting in Connecticut.
It's going to have a long-term impact. I mean, the judges, he's appointed half the federal judges right now. I mean, you look at a lot of the really anti-gun decisions, they're coming down from judges that Obama's appointed.
Well, there you go. Unfortunately, Doctor, that's all the time we have. It's Dr. John Lott, everybody. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can find out more about those 8 books he's written and educate yourself in a very good way at thecrimepreventionresearchcenter.org. Go to thecrimepreventionresearchcenter.org online and find out more. Doctor, always a pleasure.
Great talking to you.
There you have it. Dr. John Lott, everybody.